You are listening to First in Human, where we interview industry leaders and investors to learn about their journey to in-human clinical trials. Presented by Vial, a tech-enabled CRO, hosted by Simon Burns, CEO and co-founder.
Featuring special guest host, Amy Delmedico, VP of Ophthalmology.
For this episode, we are joined by Bas van der Bond, CEO and President of Lixti, to discuss their innovative approach to enhance cancer treatment efficacy with LB100, a PP2A inhibitor in combination with chemotherapy and immunotherapy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Amy Delmedico, and I'm here today with Bas van der Bond from Lixti. Bas, welcome. Would you like to give a brief introduction?
Sure. Thank you very much. And great to be here, Amy. I joined the board of Lixti in mid-2022. Got a background in biotechnology. It's been in the space for the last 20 years. Co-founded two molecular diagnostic companies and two drug development companies. And this is the first time I actually took over from a founder in September last year. I took over the position of CEO of the company. And, you know, it's been a great ride so far.
Fantastic. Thank you. So we've got some sort of broader questions as well as some more detailed questions about the IPLP, LB100. But first of all, more broadly, in your opinion, what are the biggest challenges and opportunities facing the oncology drug development landscape today?
So I think for me now, the biggest challenge obviously is the amount of trials happening. You know, it's become more difficult to enroll patients because there's just a lot of competing trials out there. But on the upside, right, if you've got a really interesting biological rationale like we do, you know, you can trigger the interest of the PIs and make things happen. So the great thing is that I think the time between preclinical concepts and going into the clinic has substantially shortened, and we clearly make use of that opportunity within Lixti.
Okay, great. So what inspired Lixti to focus on developing PP2A inhibitors, and what potential advantages does your approach offer compared to traditional cancer therapies?
Yeah, so it's going to be a little longer answer, so just cut me short when you've heard it all. But what triggered Lixti to take this path was also what really interested me to join as a CEO. So they weren't always on this path. As I just said, I co-founded two molecular diagnostic companies. One of them was actually a spin-off of the Netherlands Cancer Institute. And I've always stayed in close contact with that research department. And the Netherlands Cancer Institute is an interesting institute because the research and the hospital are really close together. And a lot of things that are happening in the research department spill over to the hospital and vice versa. So interesting setup. And so one of the inventions there in those days was about breast cancer recurrence and the need of chemotherapy. And I've always stayed in touch. And one of the founders, René Bernards, always stayed an academic and moved on to drug combination, right? With the concept that, you know, in oncology, it's probably not going to be a silver bullet that's going to solve it, right? What we see in cancer is that, especially with small molecules, they initially work really well. And then some sort of resistance happens. And so at the NKI, independently, they were doing a lot of synthetic lethality screens, both with siRNA as well as CRISPR, to figure out, okay, what are the mechanisms of resistance, right? How can I find that backdoor that a cancer cell is using to escape the therapy? And can I close the backdoor in parallel in combination with the front door, so to speak? So they found that the PP2A pathway was a really interesting pathway when they were looking at chemotherapy as well as immune therapy. So independently of Lixti, they said, well, wouldn't it be great if we can inhibit that PP2A pathway? Let's have a look if there's any company around that's already working on it. And they found Lixti. And Lixti was very receptive to their proposals of collaboration. And that's kind of how almost a restart of Lixti started, because Lixti originally was focused on monotherapy. They were focused on a few non-oncology indications, and the sweet spot of this drug actually is in combination with either chemotherapy or immune therapy. And so we really changed the strategy, discontinued some trials outside the oncology space, discontinued the monotherapy approach, and really focus now on the combination with chemotherapy and immune therapy based on you know, independent research. And so that's where we are now.
That's really interesting. Thank you. And you touched on some of this in your answer, but can you elaborate further on the mechanism of action of LB100 and how it advances or even enhances chemotherapy and immunotherapy cancer treatment?
Sure. So, as I said, right, so most developers are looking at kinases, right? The on switch in signaling, because, you know, the general perception is there's too much signaling in a cancer cell. We have to shut the signaling down. And the difference between a cancer and a non-cancer cell often is that a cancer cell is way more active and then using certain pathways to, you know, grow and metastasize. And this is a phosphatase inhibitor. So essentially, we're now targeting the off switch, which is very counterintuitive. So not only, you know, is there too much signaling, we're taking away the off switch too. So what's happening? What we've seen now is that protein phosphatase 2A has a lot of targets. And so the initial concern was also toxicity, right? And that was great because before I joined, they've done all the tox studies already on monotherapy, and it wasn't toxic, right? It was a potent inhibitor of PP2A, and it wasn't toxic as monotherapy. So that fear was taken away. And so what it essentially does is, because it has multiple targets, it has a multiple downstream effect. So one of the effects is that it pushes the cell into cell cycle. That's a great thing because chemotherapy needs a cell while it's dividing, because then, of course, it can create all the damage in the DNA, which leads to apoptosis. But on top of that, what we've seen that one of the other downstream targets of PP2A inhibition is that it inhibits DNA repair. So not only does it lead chemotherapy to do its work in creating damage, it also inhibits the potential repair of the damage, which again makes it even more effective as a chemotherapy enhancer. On the other hand, in the area of immune therapy, it gets even more interesting because what we see, it has three effects. Two effects outside the cancer cell, actually on the immune system. So it actually enhances the release of cytokines, but it also enhances the proliferation of T cells. So you get more soldiers to actually fight the tumor. But the effect on the tumor is interesting because it pushes the cell into cell cycle and it makes the replication a little chaotic. It creates the PP2A actually works on the RNA splicing and on the spliceosome, creating new peptides or so-called neoantigens. And those are actually presented on the cell surface. So the cancer cell becomes more visible for the immune system that we also enhance with PP2A by increasing the cytokines and increasing T cell proliferation. So a lot of actions, and they're all extremely well described in recent literature because our collaboration with the Netherlands Cancer Institute led to two phenomenal publications that came out actually last week, and one will come out tomorrow that precisely describe how this biology works and what the effects are of PP2A inhibition in combination with those therapies.
That sounds like a really exciting approach and good to hear that it's been well documented as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the critical elements, right? For myself, I'd be like, you know, if you're going to spend your time and put your soul into a company, you know, it's great if it has a big impact. And by enhancing chemo and immune therapy, I mean, most patients today are treated with either one or the other or both, right? And we know that the effect can be better. Chemo response rates are 10 to 20%. Immune therapy, spectacular in MSI high colon cancer, in lung cancer, in melanoma, right? Tumors with a very high mutation burden, but not so much in all those other tumors. So it can really use that boost. So I think this concept can have a very big impact. And then secondly, I think in today's day and age, you just got to understand the biology, right? To increase your chance of success.
Absolutely. Everyone as an industry is talking about precision medicine. I wondered, is Lixdi able to tailor the therapies towards individual patients at this stage?
So that's interesting because, as I said, right, I've got a lot of experience in molecular diagnostics. So that would have been another aspect that I would really like to see in drug development. But in this case, it is actually pretty broad spectrum. So it is a general enhancer of chemo and a general enhancer of immune therapy. But one of the trials we're conducting is at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. And they actually proactively approached us because they did a study on a failed immune therapy trial in ovarian cancer. So in the unstratified population, immune therapy didn't do much, right? And I think to my knowledge, there's no approval of immune therapy in ovarian cancer, but I might not be entirely up to date. And so, but in that trial, at least immune therapy didn't do much in ovarian cancer. And then if they looked at a subset of ovarian cancer called ovarian clear cell carcinoma, they sequenced all the tumors. And what they saw is that there's a small subgroup that did benefit of immune therapy. And it turned out to be the patients that had a deletion in the PP2A gene. So patients with a PP2A mutation actually responded really well to immune therapy. And so what triggered that is like, okay, can we mimic that mutation? And of course, by inhibiting PP2A, and that's how they found LIXT. And they brought LIXT and GlaxoSmithKline with their PD-1 inhibitor, dostarlimab, together. And that's one of the trials we've currently opened. So it's not precision medicine as we know it. Theoretically, you could leave the PP2A mutants out, right? But it's such a small subset. So that's not what we're doing currently. We enroll all ovarian clear cell cancers. But it is a very nice indication of the concept that looking back, you can make immune therapy work in PP2A mutant patients. There's only a few patients that actually have that mutation. So for the vast majority, inhibiting PP2A might be the solution to make immune therapy work.
Okay, thank you. And you've mentioned both breast and ovarian cancer. I wondered if there were any plans to expand LB100's indications beyond what you're currently looking at, or if there are any other IPs in the pipeline that you're developing.
Yeah, so we currently have three trials open. So one is the ovarian cancer trial that I mentioned. A second one is a sarcoma trial. So it's advanced soft tissue sarcoma. That's a very difficult one, right? I mean, I think chemotherapy has been the standard of care for the last 40 years, and many have tried to get better outcomes in that disease. And here we're working with the European Consortium for Sarcoma called GAIS out of Madrid to combine LB100 with chemotherapy in advanced soft tissue sarcoma. And then the third trial that we currently have open is in small cell lung cancer, where the standard of care is chemotherapy with immune therapy. At least that's the standard in the US. Still, those patients have a very poor prognosis in later stage of the disease. So there we're combining LB100 with chemo and immune therapy to see if we can give it a kind of a double boost. So those are the three that are currently in the works. And then we're looking and considering to do something in colon cancer, especially MSI low. Because we know immune therapy is really effective in MSI-high colon cancer because of the high mutation burden, but there's hardly any benefit and no approval of immune therapy in MSI-low advanced or metastatic colon cancer. And that's one based on that, you know, neoantigen production featuring capacity of PP2A inhibition. We think that we can make those cold tumors, we can make them immune hot. And so that's something that we are considering for the near future based on recent publications.
Right. So a range of quite different indications.
Yeah.
So LB100, I believe, is a new class of therapy. I just wondered if you'd come across any particular hurdles from a regulatory perspective.
Well, not yet. So we have our IND approval in the US and our IMPD approval in Europe, and we're conducting trials both in Europe as well as in the US. It's definitely a first in class. LIXT is unique in their approach. There's nobody else taking this approach, which, you know, can be a little scary taking such a new route. But I think also, you know, we've got to do new things and controversial things too, because in many cancers, we do see a bit of a plateau in the survival. So to push for that extra survival benefit, we have to do things that we I don't think we haven't done before. And one of the latest articles is calling it a paradoxical activation, right? So taking the brakes off, but the preclinical data looks spectacular. And so now we're in a very interesting phase of having three trials open to see if that preclinical data actually translates to clinical benefit.
Fantastic. Thank you. And so a more general question, and this is from a more of a CRO perspective, I suppose. You know, we know clinical trials are complex and costly and time consuming, and probably no more so than oncology clinical trials. I wondered what sort of role you feel that CROs will play in LIXT's development process.
Yeah, so we're not just in the clinic because we did our safety trials, right? And the three trials we're open are investigator initiated. So the roles of CROs at this point are more around monitoring and pharmacovigilance. But, you know, I'd love to go to the next phase where we do the industry sponsored trials. And then I'd love to work with, you know, a good CRO to get those larger trials going that deliver the outcome and the quality necessary for the approval process, both in the US and as in Europe.
That's great. Good to hear. Thank you. Final question. Just looking ahead, I wonder what the long-term goals are and the visions for Lixty.
So again, a very interesting company. It has one asset. And some people sometimes say like, well, you need to have a pipeline. What if your number one asset doesn't make it? Because honestly, if you look at the approvals, I think currently there are almost 8,000 trials open in oncology, right? And how many first-in-class approvals do you have a year, right? So that's maybe double digit, but at best. So, you know, you have to be realistic. But I think for us, it really works well. It gets our full attention. And so for us, it's really about showing some first signals in humans. And therefore, we pick those three trials that we've currently opened to combine LB100 with only chemotherapy in soft tissue sarcoma, to combine it with chemo and immunotherapy in small cell lung cancer, and with only immune therapy in ovarian. So I think we've picked all the possible combination of where we think the sweet spot of our drug is. We picked three different cancer indications, of which I think the ovarian one is the most interesting because we have this mutation data that shows that patients with a mutation in PB2A actually do respond to immune therapy. But as I said before, most patients will receive either chemo or immune therapy or both. And so we're really looking forward to expanding this indication within a much broader scale of cancers in the future. As I gave an indication already, we're looking at colon cancer at the MSI low colon cancer at the moment, but there's a number of other, I think, cold tumors that are not so immune responsive that hopefully we can make immune therapy more effective.
Yes, thank you very much for sharing your vision, and also the science behind it is very interesting.
Thank you very much. Well, thanks a lot, and great discussion. Great questions. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and Google.